Good morning. I feel like I've kind of been set up in a really good way by these two presentations in front of me, so that's great. I'm going to talk about the work that came out of community assessment that we conducted in the city of Manchester, New Hampshire. And Manchester is the largest city in New Hampshire. It's got a population of about 150,000. It's the most diverse city in the state. In a state that is not a diverse state in ethnically speaking at all. So, but that's just by way of a little background. Oh, and the city is actually, it's a very old mill town, and there's a river that runs through it, and lots of old brick buildings, and it's an old town. And now I'm gonna. So I too have no relationships to disclose. And I'm presenting this work on behalf of myself and my colleagues, Dottie Bezos and Anna Thomas. The other thing about Manchester that I should say is Anna Thomas works at the City of Manchester Health Department, and New Hampshire has a unique public health system in that we have the State Health Department. There are only two local city health departments in New Hampshire, and Manchester has one of them. And it's fortunate to have that kind of infrastructure that the other cities in the state don't have. So my presentation goals today are to describe elements of intentionality that are important to community design for health, and to present a model of community health improvement that incorporates the elements of intentionality that we found in our community assessment. So, by way of a little background, the city has a health improvement coalition that is called the Healthy Manchester Leadership Council. It's comprised of about 20 organizations that have come together as a coalition and been working on issues around the health of the community for several years. One of the subgroups of the Manchester Leadership Council is the Manchester Sustainable Action Project, which is comprised of eight healthcare organizations that focus on improving economics and infrastructure for cities' safety net services. And New Hampshire has a community benefits law that requires health organizations that have revenue or a budget of greater than $100,000 a year to engage in every five-year health assessment, and in order to justify their tax-exempt status and to make a meaningful contribution to the community's health improvement. And what the Manchester Sustainable Action Project did when they designed this community assessment was they wanted to, usually what happens is that the 5 years comes up and the organizations do their community assessment and then they make their contributions and then the next 5 year comes and everybody does their community assessment, and they wanted to be very strategic about building this community assessment on previous community assessments, looking at the same indicators and strategically thinking about what they would be doing in the future 5 years down the road. So that was kind of the foundation and the background behind this assessment planning. They obviously recognized that they needed to include the community that would ultimately be benefiting from the services. And so the assessment process reflects collaboration at the level of the eight organizations that are part of the Sustainable Action Project, but also included collaboration of community participants throughout the entire assessment process. And what we planned to do was to conduct the assessment, develop a report, and then use the report that would translate directly into a plan for improvement. So the background as well, there was a local framework that the Leadership Council had based its planning around for Healthy Manchester 2015 that was based on Healthy People 2020 goals, and which really considered a broad view of community health, which guided their efforts. And this provided the framework for our assessment and looks very much like the beginning of a strategic map that we've seen already. So our methods, it was a mixed methods community needs assessment. And so that we used data and indicators from major sources such as the Healthy People 2010, the BRFIS, and the YRBS. And what we did was we selected indicators that would allow us to map against the Evans and Stoddard's model, field model for social determinants of health. And because we used that as the map, we were able to really narrow down from these huge, the whole huge pool of indicators and pick the ones that would be the best ones and the ones that built on previous assessments and the ones that we would be able to continue to collect data from in the future so we could establish that longitudinal pattern. And we also thought that, you know, by using the Evans and Stoddard's field model, which we were very committed to, that conducting the assessment using that map and then using that, that the report would actually write itself based on the framework. So that was the quantitative. And then for the qualitative data, we focused on vulnerable populations and key leaders. And what we were looking for was information that would validate the quantitative data that we had. And the quantitative data analysis was all secondary analysis, and the primary data analysis was the qualitative, came from the qualitative data. So our method of data collection, again, for the quantitative component, we followed the strategic imperatives. But for the qualitative, we had the focus groups of vulnerable populations, and there were 13 focus groups, and we conducted 19 key leader interviews. And the interviews and the focus groups focused on three major questions, which included what were the biggest concerns facing families, what were a vision for an ideal community, and what were emerging health issues or safety issues in the community. And that this is what I'm going to focus on. So the specific questions that we asked were, the first question was, what is the single most important issue facing you and your family? And this question zoned in on current needs. The second question was, what do you believe makes a community the best place to live? So this, we were trying to capture future vision and areas of opportunity. And the third question was, if you could talk to the mayor about one new or emerging health or safety issue, what would it be? And this, we were looking for capturing the capability of the city to actually improve and turning some raw capacity into action. So we were looking at adding depth and validating quantitative findings. We were looking to generate new findings through open-ended questions, and we were looking to inform the strategic planning process related to the community benefits plan. So, and our hypothesis was that healthcare would not be in the forefront of everybody's mind because this was in 2009 and the economy had just turned south. So that was kind of setting the background and the context. So focus groups, we had 13 focus groups, as I said, and they were a total of 109 people, and we had representation very heavily represented vulnerable populations. But we also had some location. We had representation from either side of the river, which were very, very different neighborhoods. And then for key leader interviews, we had a total of 23 leaders. We had 19 interviews. One of the interviews of business leaders was actually a composite interview of four. But we had very good representation across sectors and These were guided interviews of about an hour. And for our analysis, we used in vivo, and we coded our data, we identified 56 themes. And we, again, similar to the quantitative analysis, we mapped the themes against the Evans and Stoddard field model and found out that most of the nodes fell very nicely into the field model, but there were some that didn't. And the three constructs that we identified that did not fall into the field model were values, vision, and intentional community design. And so we had our beautiful report plan of the report that was going to write itself around the field model. And now we had these, you know, big cross-cutting themes that really underpinned all of the domains within the field model that we needed to look at. So the expected findings, again, were that they would fit, and in most cases they did. This was the way the biggest concern facing families, focus group, and key leaders generally identified and ranked pretty much the same. These areas of access to care and services, the economy, safety and violence, health status, and housing and homelessness, those were the top five issues that were identified. So the surprise finding were these common underpinnings of vision, values, and intentional community design for health. So just taking a look at the field model. I'm sure that everybody or most everybody is very familiar with Evans and Stoddard, and we were very committed to this model. And although it includes dynamic components and the arrows, you know, down the straight, how different domains affect other domains, that it doesn't really propose any engine for improvement. And since it was developed in the 1980s, a lot of knowledge has developed since then on complex adaptive systems and how systems are constantly changing and evolving. And so we developed a model that we based on Evans and Stoddard, but we think that it enhances the Evans and Stoddard model because it, while it has all the domains on the very outside of those nodes, that all the things that that impact quality of life, that vision, values, and intentional design in it, thinking about improvement, are essential to drive the changes in those domains. And so in our model places these drivers at the center. And so that we were really excited when we figured this out. And it really captures the characteristic of a complex adaptive system as a system that shapes its environment and is shaped by its environment at the same time. So this graph shows how the community design and values and vision kind of cut across the specific health issues. And so, for example, where the blue is community design, that comments related to access to care and services that were also reflected community design elements show that these are the number of references and that were made as we did our analysis, but show that community design came up in the most for access to care and services, physical health, and the economy. Intentional community design for health, which is the intentional development of places, programs, and policies that cultivate and maintain a local environment that fosters access to care and services and safety and supports healthy behaviors and prosperity. And in the themes that we identified when we went through our past with in vivo, the themes that we identified that were part of intentional design included transportation, the social environment, education, looking at Manchester as a destination city, revitalization, and so those were the elements that constituted community design in our analysis. So vision, we identified themes around vision, around leadership and quality of life and forward thinking. And some of the examples of these were participants recognizing a need to improve quality of life for the poorest in the community as essential for Manchester to make progress. Another leader, a leader mentioned, described a big sucking sound out of Manchester at 5 p.m. as people go home to their small towns, and recognized that as a quality of life issue for the city. And participants also mentioned a need for more involvement of community leaders at community events. So those were some of the things that came out of our analysis around vision. And then for values, the things that we identified included people talking about collaboration, community involvement, family, community orientation, and some of the comments that people made that led us to this were, you know, talking about placing children at the center of all the city does, providing good education and health care, and one of the leaders mentioned that we can't nickel and dime our schools. So that was one comment. People identified a need for affordable family activities. One focus group member recognized community involvement, or described her community involvement as a source of gratification and generosity for herself. And one of the participants said that in terms of what makes a good community the best place to live, said that a community that listens to its residents and not just the city departments about what needs to be done would make a great community to live in. So after we finished looking at our data and laying it out and coming up with our model, we went back and looked at the concept of community design and were validated in finding this is a definition that defined by the Association for Community Design, that it's a movement focused on the creation and management of environments for people. It promotes change to the built environment and aims to meet community needs through participatory decision making at all levels. It's a values-based community intervention. And it, based on unique knowledge of a community that requires reflection, which is exactly what the process was through our focus groups and our interviews. So it's a process and it's an action in terms of applying available resources and establishes conditions that foster social capital. And this is definition out of the Policy Research Institute in Canada. And it's a high-level concept that links directly to each of the dimensions of the Evans and Stoddard field model and also cuts across the three questions that we asked in our interviews and our focus groups. It represents a community-based and a community-focused intervention that reflects, embodies, and fosters community empowerment. So our model put the strong influence of intentional design, values, and vision at the center as a driver of processes that influence the determinants that produce health and enhance the quality of life for all area residents. And I say, why is this important? Why it's important is because it's because the difference between kind of the flat picture of the social determinants of health, when you add all those things together, it doesn't it, it, it doesn't add up to a whole picture in terms of improvement. And communities are built on existing networks, evolve beyond any particular design, and the purpose is not to impose a structure, but to help the community develop. So it's what the model represents is really it represents a possibility for evolution and development, and which is very similar to parallel to social development of social capital. And so thinking about social capital as kind of the glue, thinking about intentional design as really a cross-cutting underpinning for community health and improvement. So we had a small sample. We know minorities were not well represented in the overall study because minorities are not well represented in New Hampshire. And the qualitative analysis was targeted to very vulnerable populations only because we were really trying to access that information. So that's it. Thank you. Any questions? Complaints? Comments?
She's not. No?
Yeah? Yeah? They are in the process of developing their community improvement plan, but the city itself, you know, this is this assessment happened at a point in time, so they were already in this process. I mentioned that the health department it's a very progressive and just really excellent health department, and so they have initiatives that are already that are underway that are part of their strategic map. And the findings from this are they're working on developing their next community improvement plan. But they are involved in, there's a prevention research center at Dartmouth that the city of Manchester is one of the participants in an action learning collaborative. And what the prevention research center is working on is improving cardiac health. And so what Manchester has been able to do with this information is to think about guiding the work that they're doing in terms of community design around heart healthy environments as they're working on this action learning collaborative. I don't know if that answers your question. Okay.
Well, again, please join me in thanking our three speakers for this morning's presentations.